Good morning, everybody. Welcome here. Glad you're here for those online as well. Just before we get into the message this morning, just let you know kind of what's going on. It's in the bulletin and whatnot, but for the next several weeks, kind of what's happening. Next week, there'll be a video sermon. Then the week after that, Brad Mitchell, who's one of our elders, will be sharing on evangelism. And the week after that, which I believe is the 14th of July, Phil Webb is one of our missionaries that we support. He'll be here as well. So, yeah, and we'll give you an update on terms of what's happening the rest of the summer in terms of pulpit and what's happening there. So, tomorrow's a big day. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's actually swim a lap day internationally. You're like, what? What's going on? Just kidding. Tomorrow's a big day for Alberta, right? Who's excited about the Game 7 tomorrow? Thank you. You can be enthusiastic in church. It's okay. But I have an issue. I saw something very disturbing that I'm struggling with that I need to read to you. And here's what I read. Monday is officially Edmonton Oilers Day in the town of Edson. Edson Town Council encourages everyone to show the Oilers pride. Kids, let's chalk up our trails with Oilers pride. Post pictures of your Oilers pride before. Let's go, Oilers. We want the cup. I'm moving tomorrow. I'm going to be gone for the day. I'm kidding. But no, this is exciting. I'm not anti-Oiler. I just think it's fun to poke the bear a little bit. I've gotten lots of texts from friends again. Another one yesterday encouraged me to join the bandwagon. It's not too late. And I've said that bandwagon has been burned down by me. But no, I think it'll be good for Canada. I'm not anti-Edmonton. Anyways, just want to go Canada, go. There you go. Anyways, welcome here. Just wanted to share that because I think there's a lot of people watching the game tomorrow. I hope you are. I'll be catching some of it as well. This morning, we are going back to the basics. We've talked about this before, but I thought as we've been going through the spiritual disciplines, sometimes we can often get so ahead of ourselves on getting the deep things of theology, which are important. Please receive that. Please hear that. Those things are vital. And yet sometimes we can skip past the basics of our faith and try to go into the deep waters. And sometimes we're not ready for the deep waters because we're still struggling with the basics. And I think for a lot of us, especially in the summer, it's easy to forget the basics of our relationship with Jesus, and that's prayer and the basic heart of what we do. And as we consider that, I'm hoping that this morning, as again, we've mentioned this before from the pulpit, we've done this in practice as well, as we talk about the acronym of ACTS, the prayer of ACTS, what that looks like for us daily, and perhaps how that can be fitting into our lives this summer as we consider how to pray effectively in certain matters. Because I think this prayer of ACTS is an acronym, as you can see on the screen, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's a very simple way to pray, but it's very, very effective. And I'm not sure about you, but when I pray at times, I can definitely get distracted. Whether it be a little bird or some sounds in the distance. But when I have a way of following a model, now this isn't a legalistic way to do it, but this is a way to capture my thoughts and to stay kind of focused. And I think it's beautiful because it starts with the beautiful part of being in our presence of our God and coming with adoration. And the things we adore in life, think about something now in your life that you adore. It could be a family member, it could be a material possession, I'm not sure what it is, but the beautiful thing about the prayer of ACTS, it starts with adoration, that we adore God. That starts there, that we recognize who he is, that he is almighty, that he's all-powerful, and he deserves our worship. He deserves us to be able to praise him, and it's a privilege to do that, isn't it? And it's something we shouldn't be taking for granted, but to understand. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go through this acronym together, and we're going to spend time praying about these things where we're sitting. And to be able to, hopefully this will, again, will get us to practice this over the summer, maybe perhaps in a day. And this is a really good way to show kids how to pray as well, and for us as adults too. So again, if this is new to you, that's great. If you've heard this before, I encourage you not to check out because you've heard this before, but to dive in and to engage, because this is a great reminder. And again, the basics of the faith are so important. And let's not forget that. So, having said that, adoration, as I mentioned, and there'll be some scriptures I'll share as well. And some of those will be on the screen too. So Psalm 34:1 says this, "I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. In Isaiah 25:1, there's some verses on the screen as well that are up there too. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Psalm 145:3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Do you fathom the love of God? Do you fathom his greatness? Do you know his greatness today? Philippians 2, verses 10 to 11. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, of the Father. And Revelation 4:8 says this is a beautiful picture. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a fantastic picture when you think about adoration and how much we adore God. And I think sometimes, if we're honest, there's this times in lives where we don't adore God as much as we should. To understand that he is full of awe and we should be in awe of his presence, that he deserves our attention, and that we should come with that heart of posture of prayer and acknowledging who he is. And as we come this morning, do you adore God? Do you adore him in your life? Do you spend time telling him how much you adore him? I think it's important to do that, because when we have friends and family in our lives and our kids and others, we will come alongside and tell them what they mean to us and how important they are to us. And that's good in our human relationships. But what about God our Father? How often do we go to the throne in our prayer time and give him praise and glory in the good and the bad times to give him what he deserves? Adoration. We should adore our God, our Father. So having said that, we're going to take some time now. And I read some scripture here. It'll still be on the screen. I just want you to take some time where you're seated, and those watching at home as well, to just engage in this prayer of adoration. I'll just lead us out, and then you can pray in your spirit. If you have a word of adoration, one word of adoration or a sentence for God, you can pray it where you are out loud if you'd like. We're going to be a little interactive at church today. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about your neighbor beside you. But it's about Jesus. So let's do that today. And so, and then in a few minutes, I'll close that part off. We'll continue to go through the acronym together. Now, as we come this morning, and your hearts are preparing, I just encourage you to engage in this, whatever you need to bring. So again, if you want to shout out some words, you can, and we'll go from there. Let's pray and give God his adoration that he deserves. Lord, we come before you now. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, as now as we come together, that we would just shout out in the quietness of our hearts, but also as a body of Christ, our adoration. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to say what we need to say in our spirits and our hearts, and thank you that we can come and adore you, that you are exactly who you say you are, and that every knee will bow on heaven and earth, and every tongue will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The next letter, C, is confession. We talked about this recently, and a couple of verses to look at here. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. And John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are good things to consider. And it's interesting when you go through the prayer of Acts, whether it be in a group or in a church, and I understand in the church it's different, but you do in a group, confession is usually the time where you hear a lot of crickets. There's a lot going on in that part of the conversation. It's interesting too. And as we think about confession, and we think about the things that we do perhaps to break the heart of God, we also need to confess this, that if you are a Christ follower, you are a child of God. And we confess that. We confess that with confidence. We confess that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We confess that. And we lean into that as well, that we understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God, as Romans talks about. And we confess that as well. And that's part of the journey. It's a both end. We come and we share to the Lord what we need to confess, and we also confess with joy and the hope that comes of the forgiveness from Jesus. And that's good. It's a good thing. Your position in Christ matters. And if you are a Christ follower here today, be grateful. Be thankful. And I think we all take that for granted, if we're honest. And we need to stop taking for granted, because there's so many people in this world that we know that do not have a relationship with Jesus. And it's a privilege for us and an honor to be able to say that if you are a Christ follower today. A healthy, growing, blameless relationship with Jesus. And it matters. Having said all that, we come to a time of confession. Again, if you want to shout out to God about things you want to share in your heart, you can do that quietly, out loud. It's up to you. But as we come, again, quiet your hearts. Let's do this together. Father, we come. And I know what it says in Scripture, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. We also know that the verses talk about how we can deceive ourselves, that we think we do not have sin when we actually do. So I pray, Lord, as we come this morning now, that we confess those things that no one else sees or knows about, but we know we're doing it, and you know we're doing it. So we come now. Father, I fully confess that there are times in my life where I try to do things on my own, and I walk in the flesh. And I know when I do that, I often fail, and I repent of that and ask for forgiveness. And I pray that I'd be reliant on you in all things, and not the wisdom of my own knowledge, but the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear our prayer. Thank you that we can come to you like David did in the Scriptures. We're grateful. Amen. Adoration, confession, and theist thanksgiving. And it was read this morning already, the Scripture, beautiful Scripture. Psalm 100 says this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 107, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. How hungry are you for Jesus? How thankful are you for Jesus? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 95, Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Amen. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is great, God and great King above all gods. I will praise the name of God with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, this idea of a joyful noise, you know, this idea of worshiping the Lord with our words and our actions. You know, it's an amazing thing when the church comes together and as Jocelyn mentioned today, this idea of worshiping and entering worship and how we can shake in such a way that the gates of hell shake because of our worship to God. And it would be beautiful, and I've said this before, that the walls of this church would be crumbling down and our neighbors would be going, what is happening at that place? People can hear our praises to God, that we are shouting out to God. We're not worried about the person beside us, but we're giving him all the glory. See, that's what heaven's going to be like. Are you prepared for it? And we should be practicing here on earth. It is such an honor to come and sing worship songs. And worship isn't just about singing, but it is about giving God thanks in many ways. So how thankful are you for the things that God has done for you? Specifically the cross behind me. How thankful are you for what Jesus has done for you? Perhaps you don't know Jesus this morning. And that's a gift from God that is waiting for you, salvation. And you can receive that as well. I think it's important to have an attitude of gratitude and being thankful to God. Every single day, there should be a moment where we pause in our day to give thanks to God. Not just when we say grace for dinner or a meal, but for the things in our life. I think it's vitally important. It helps us to appreciate who he is in our life even more so. And when we are facing trials and tribulations, it helps us to really acknowledge who God is even more so, because even in the midst of chaos, God is still on the throne. Amen? He is. And I hope you know that. So having said that, let's spend some time giving God the praise and the thankfulness that he deserves and the things that we're thankful for. And these are the small things in our lives, the big things in our lives. Let's acknowledge that this morning. Let's take some time now. Lord, we come now. We thank you that we can enter the gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We can enter the courts with praise. So Lord, as we come now, we give you thanks for the things you're doing and will continue to do. Lord, I'm thankful for my family and that Laura and I, my wife, that we are first-generation Christians and we're able to pass the baton on to our kids. Just grateful for that. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that you've given us another day of life today. Thank you for our family and our friends. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for those things we're waiting on still that help us persevere. Thank you for the cross. Just thank you for even perhaps we had breakfast this morning or the lunch we're anticipating for our kids, for our grandkids. There's so many things to be thankful for. I thank you, Jesus, that we can acknowledge that. So, Lord, help us to have hearts that are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication was simply a fancy word that means things we pray about. Now, I know oftentimes we can come before the Lord with a long laundry list of prayers. And, okay, Lord, here's my list. Deal with it. But the beautiful thing about prayer, it isn't about the list. It's about how God changes us in his presence. And we are present with him. We come to our knees, and we have fellowship with him. God isn't a God that's a vending machine. And we need to recognize that. And prayer builds our relationship with him. And this idea of praying for things in our life is very, very important. We intercede for one another and for each other. And the Bible tells us that as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Psalm 143, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. There's many things we pray about, aren't there? There's the things that are spoken, and those things that are, we deal with in our own privacy, our own heart. And I think it's imperative that we pray about many things, that we pray for each other, that we pray for ourselves, that we pray for people we don't even know. And that's what you do. On Thursday, I was in the office, and I was stretching my legs. It was a beautiful day, so I went for a little walk just in the community here. And I ran into a couple of our neighbors and started to visit with them. Just asked them how they're doing, asked life questions, and introduced myself, etc., where I was from, and had a really good visit with them. And at the end, I asked them, you know, is there anything I can pray for you guys? And they kind of looked at me like, And they said, sure. And they shared a couple things. They're not believers. But I prayed for them. On the spot, had a great conversation with them, spent a little bit of time together, and prayed with them. And said, hey, if you guys ever need anything, reach out, and left. It was just good. And I share that because those are the things that can happen in our day-to-day that God puts in front of us that we can pray about as well. And sometimes we don't expect these things to happen, but they just show up on your radar. And I think that's a good thing, to take advantage of the situations and randomly go up to somebody, whether it's sharing the gospel or praying for them or asking permission to pray for them and praying for each other as well. On Thursday, this happened the same day, actually. On Thursday evening, my kids were on a school trip. Hallelujah, amen. We had the house to ourselves. And my wife and I were like, let's go for ice cream. So we invited somebody else to come with us. They weren't able to come due to sickness, and that's all good. So we decided, let's just go to a restaurant, grab some dessert. So on the way there, we just said, hey, let's go knock on so-and-so's door. So we did. And the idea was to grab them, basically kidnap them, and get into the vehicle. We're taking you out for dessert. So I went to the door and knocked on. The first thing I said, get your stuff on. We're taking you out for dessert. We want to hang out with you guys. But what the tables got turned on us, though. They had said on the spot, well, it's funny, because we just brought a Saskatoon berry pie, and it's in the oven. Instead of us going out for dessert, why don't you come inside? So we did. And we spent 2 wonderful hours visiting with this family. And at the end, we were able to pray with this family about some things they were going through. And we left, and it was a blessing. Not because of the pie. Well, it's a bonus. It was a good pie. But the prayer time and encouraging this family. See, that's what prayer is. I get so jacked up. Like, I like preaching, but I get so jacked up and love coming alongside people's lives and shepherding and praying with people and visiting and connecting. And that's what prayer is. That when we sit with people and meet with people, hopefully when you're visiting with people, you're leaving somewhere. It doesn't happen all the time, but there's this posture of saying, hey, can we pray with you? Is there anything we can pray about today? And we put those out there. And I think that's what this idea of supplication is about. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. How well do we do that? How well do we pray for other people outside being told? But if you saw a need or decided to phone someone or show up at someone's house and say, I just want to come here to pray for you. There's something powerful about that. Something beautiful about that. I will get texts from people or people will show up at our house and say, hey, I'm just here to pray for you. And they'd leave. We used to do this event years ago, and perhaps we'll do it again in the fall. At this church we were at, we used to go to people's homes, and we'd gather groups of people, and we would have people separate through the city and go to different people's homes and stop in front of the house and pray for them. And then after, they'd get a piece of paper, stick it on the front door, and there'd be a bullseye. And the bullseye would say, "You were targeted for prayer." That's it. So when the family got home, they saw this bullseye on their door, and it said they were targeted for prayer. Such an encouragement. Ever done something like that? Maybe consider it. Having said that, we pray for things. You saw the prayer site earlier. July 9th, I believe, is our first Wednesday prayer walk. 6:30 here. We're going to have a few of those over the summer. I hope and I pray that many of you will come. If I'm honest, our prayer meetings have not been well attended. The summer is a beautiful time to be praying for our town. We should be praying for our town anyways, but this is a beautiful way to connect, to pray, to walk. There's a darkness over our town that needs to be released by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why intercession matters. That's why we have these prayer meetings, to fellowship and to connect. So I encourage you, if you have your phone right now, bust it out. Put on there Wednesday, July 9th, and the preceding Wednesdays after that for July. And I hope and pray that many of you show up so we can surround this community with prayer. And to see people going out and to do that, I think it's a powerful, powerful message. Now, as we come to prayer now, this idea of praying for things, there's so much that we can consider, isn't there? And I hope as we take some time to pray today that you are able to bring those things to Jesus. And I think one of the things that's often on people's minds and hearts is the salvation of other people. Family, friends, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, the list goes on. And we all know people like that. My family. Others as well, they don't know Jesus. And I hope and pray that you're able to continue to pray there. And don't give up praying. Do not give up praying. You may not see the results through our earthly eyes, but God is at work. God is at work in all the things that we are praying through. So as you've come today, I just want us to take some time now to pray about those things that are on our heart. And again, you can shout them out. You can say them in your spirit. But again, as you come this morning, whatever you're praying about, again, a reminder from the Bible, do not be anxious about anything. Again, but in every situation, every circumstance, by prayer and petition, again, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. Let's do that now. Let's pray. Father, we come now and we ask that you would give us wisdom even how to pray this morning about the things that are on our heart, the things that perhaps keep us up at night, the things that we're struggling through, the things that others are going through. Help us to bring those things to you, not to be anxious. And Lord, when I think about what's happening in our country, what's happening in this broken world, it's so obvious how prevalent evil is. And I pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray for those folks in government. I pray there'd be a shattering of the things that are dark, and that those folks who are Christ followers in those leadership positions around our country or locally, all over the place, would be able to stand up in such a way that they were making a difference. We ask, Lord, that you break the chains of darkness that are over our nation in Jesus' name, that you would strip away the agenda. Lord, that you would bring healing to our nation. Lord, I know I cannot ask for forgiveness on someone's behalf, but I come and stand before you and ask for forgiveness for our country and the way we have treated you. the way we have kicked you out of things, where we have forgotten you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray for mercy. I pray that there be pockets of revival and release from ocean to ocean, from coast to coast. God, we know the evil one is at work. We know many people are lost today. Our children are under attack. Our families are under attack. And I pray, Lord Jesus, there'd be an everlasting movement of the Holy Spirit, that we would see things going on. And I know things are going on that are good. But I pray, Jesus, the gospel would prevail. Lord, for those this morning who have come, who have family and friends, specifically family, Lord, and friends that are far from you, that don't know you, that have been praying for years and they're struggling with seeing the results through our own eyes. And I pray, Jesus, that you would take these hearts that are being prayed for, that you would soften those hearts, that you'd remove the blinders that are spiritually, the enemy's lies that are over these families and friends, the idol worship that's going on, the reliance on material things. But Lord, there be a brokenness of these hearts. And as people are praying and interceding, that Jesus, we would see life change, we would see people being broken because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and people would come to repentance and into a relationship with you. Lord, I pray against pride. I pray against this idea that we have all the answers. And I pray for those folks who are struggling each day when they think of their loved one that is far from you. I pray for encouragement, that you would make their burden light, that you would even, perhaps today or this week, do something and show something that will remind them that you are in control. Lord, I know we want people to find you today. We also know that we are called just to plant seeds and help us to be witnesses. And so those people that are watching a parent or a child who is far from you today, Lord, that is so hard. It causes anguish. It causes pain. It causes despair. Because when we look at the light of eternity and what that means, that's the stuff that keeps us up at night. So Jesus, I pray that you would draw people to you. And we stand in the gap for those people that are praying so fervently for loved ones, that they would know the gospel, that they would be saved, that they would cry out to the rock of salvation. And Lord, for those things that are going on that people aren't sharing today or in their own hearts, I pray, God, for strength. Lord, I pray for marriages today. I pray that you would protect marriages. They are under attack. And I pray for spouses today that are struggling with each other, that are on the verge of making poor decisions, that, Lord, you bring reconciliation, you bring forgiveness, that you'd bring healing to those marriages. And Lord, as we pray for this church, this is your church. I pray that you would lead this church, that you go into every nook and cranny of this church, that you would break those things that are not of the kingdom, that are self-focused, that are agenda-driven, that are not glorifying to you, both in the privacy of our hearts, that, Lord, that we would all come to a place of humility, of reverence, of grace, of forgiveness, of reconciliation, to be able to come to the throne to know full well this church belongs to you. Lord, we know our time on this earth is short, and one day we will be held to account. And in between time, Jesus, that we pray for a future and a present for this church that would be overwhelmingly amazing for your kingdom. That would do things it's never done before. That would flourish in ways it's never flourished before. So we come now with open hearts, with repentant hearts, to acknowledge that you are on the throne. And Lord, perhaps in our life, if we've ever come and we've had and done things that are about ourselves, and it's not for the greatness or the goodness of the kingdom, Lord, I pray we repent of that, and that there would be change in our lives, in our attitudes, our perspectives. Lord, I pray we have words that give life. So I thank you for this time. I thank you that we can come and adore you, that we can confess our things, that we come with thanksgiving, that we can bring these things that we request to the throne. Lord, as we come now and continue to worship you, I thank for each person here today that's watching online and in person. And Lord, I pray also, and I know I could do this all day today, but I pray that we would not just leave this place going through this service in the acronym of Acts without this impacting us outside of these walls. That we would not be Sunday Christians. That we would all, including myself, all of us would look in the mirror and say, what can we do? What can we do to further the kingdom? And if there's anything in the way of that, that we are doing, that we put that to the side and bring all glory and honor to Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, come on up. They're going to lead us through a little song.